Good afternoon. Welcome to the press conference for Nick Kyrgios. Please raise your hand, state your name and organisation when asking a question. Nick, maybe not how you want to get there, but you're a Wimbledon finalist. How does that feel?
Yeah, I think you already said it. It's not the way I wanted to get to the final. And, you know, as a competitor, I really did want that match. You know, that was obviously something that as soon as I beat Garin, I knew that Rafa was a high possibility. And it's just someone that I've had so many good battles with before. And, you know, we've both taken a win against each other at this tournament. I really did want to see how the third chapter was going to go. And obviously you never want to see someone like that, so important to the sport, and go down with an injury like that. And he's just played so much tennis. He's had a grueling season. So I just hope he recovers, and I'm sure I'll play him again on a big stage. But, you know, obviously I'm not going to say that it's exciting, you know, to say that I have a chance to play for a Grand Slam singles title after everything. It's pretty cool.
Nick, Rob Moore from Sunsport. How and when did you find out that he was pulling out? And have you spoken to Rafa in the last 12 hours?
No, I haven't spoken to him. I found out last night at dinner, just obviously before I got indicated that it was going to happen, just before the press conference, obviously. And honestly, my first feeling was a bit of disappointment. You know, my energy was so focused on playing him and tactically how I'm going to go out there and play and the emotions of walking out there and all that type of stuff. But, you know, it wouldn't have been easy for him to do that. You know, I'm sure that a lot of his team members and himself, there was a big part of him that wanted to play for sure. You know, he hasn't barely lost a match this year, and he wanted to probably go for all four. So it wouldn't have been easy. So, you know, I thought I'd just put a nice post up to just kind of say, like, look, we've had a lot of run-ins, we've had a lot of battles, and I'm sure at the end of the day, everyone did want to see us go to war out there. So, you know, I hope he just gets better.
Willie Weinbaum from ESPN. Nick, what are your first memories of watching Wimbledon and then thinking maybe you could get to this stage?
I never thought I'd be here at all, to be brutally honest with you. Obviously, when I was number one junior in the world and I was playing here as a junior, I think I can't give enough credit to juniors, what it did for my confidence. You know, being around the Grand Slams at that young age, being around some of the top players, the facility, you know, I don't think I would have had the breakthrough in the men's so quickly. But I never thought that I'd be playing. You know, I saw some of the professionals walking around when I'd be a junior here, and I never thought that I'd be playing for the actual men's title. I feel like it's the pinnacle of tennis. You know, once you are able to raise a Grand Slam trophy, that's like, I mean, kind of what else is there to achieve? So I never thought I'd be here, and I'm just super proud, and I'm just ready to go. You know, I'm going to give it my all, and we'll see what happens.
Nick Prajwal, Hegde from the Times of India. I wanted to ask you about playing the final after such a long gap of matches. Do you think this would is better for you, given that you know, you said you played a lot of matches and your body may not be up to speed, in a sense, but also that you miss, you know, that one extra day of competition that would have, you know, given you the energy and zip for a final?
Yeah, for sure. I had a think about that last night. I definitely feel like I've been kind of in a pretty good routine. Obviously, it's hard to, you know, people would instantly say, oh, he gets another day off, but it's definitely a shock to the system because I've been playing so many matches, and you kind of play a match at a Grand Slam and then you know deep down that you have one day to wind down and let yourself relax and then go again. So to have like three days off, you know, today I'm going to try and emulate a bit of a, not a match scenario, but I'm going to try and have a bit more of an extended practice to kind of feel like I'm in that same routine, because that can throw anyone off. Obviously, at a Grand Slam, you want to have those matches. I think in a way you want to have those exactly right what you said, the competitive juices, you want to have those going, the adrenaline. So that's just something I'm going to have to, you know, just go into the final without that semi-final kind of experience. But that's okay. I'm going to take every positive. You know, I get to rest my body a little bit. It's not bad going in there feeling fresh. I had a shocking sleep last night though, to be honest. I got probably an hour sleep. Just with everything, like the excitement, I had so much anxiety, so much, I was already feeling so nervous, and I don't feel nervous usually. So I just know there's a lot of people that want me to do well and give my best, but I had a shocking sleep last night, so hopefully I can get some sleep tonight.
Mike Dixon, the Mail. I'm just wondering, Nick, this has obviously been a very new experience for you, going this deep in a slam. Is there anything you've learned about yourself in the last kind of 10, 11 days that perhaps you didn't know a week last Sunday?
Great question. I think the doubles in Australia has really helped me at a Grand Slam level. Even though it's doubles and it's nowhere near the physical kind of, you don't need obviously the physical capacity to win a doubles Grand Slam that you do the singles one. But I felt like just the kind of mundane sort of, you win a match, you have a day off, you practice, you go again over a 2 week period. I realized in Melbourne that it's a long time. Like, it's a really long time in one place. And you can't explore, you can't really go to the city here, you can't like enjoy your time as much as you would like to. You kind of have to stay in your house, be reserved, take your mind off things. And I think in Melbourne, I really realised that. Even at a doubles Grand Slam, you do really need to just get your stuff done quick and clinical and then just rest. And I felt like earlier in my career, I didn't realise that these days off and the practice is so crucial. Like, it's just like, I beat Paul Jubb 7-5 in the fifth set in my first round, and now I'm in the Wimbledon final. Like, it's just, you just got to ride the waves. You just got to roll with the punches in a Grand Slam. Like, you just don't know. You really don't know. You could be 4 points away from losing the tournament, and then 11 days later, you're in the final. So I just feel like I kind of just take it as it comes now more so than what I used to.
Hi, Nick. Darren Watton, AAP. Got to cover both finals opponents, obviously. First, Novak, you're very supportive of him during his dramas at the start of the year and visas. Also, you've been not so complimentary in the past. Can you just talk about your relationship with Novak and respect and whatnot?
We definitely have a bit of a bromance now, which is weird. I think everyone knows there was no love lost for a while there, but I think it was healthy for the sport. I think every time we kind of played each other or there was hype around it, it was interesting for the media, for the people watching and all of that. But, you know, ever since I felt like was almost the only kind of player and someone to stand up for him when with all that kind of drama at Australian Open, I feel like that's where respect's kind of earned. You can't, you know, not just on the tennis court, but like, I feel like when a real life crisis is happening and someone stands up for you, you know, we actually message each other on DMs and Instagram now and stuff. It's real weird. And actually, like, earlier in the week, he was like, hopefully I'll see you Sunday. So, you know, we'll never know. He's got an incredibly tough match today. You know, we all know what Cam is, you know, capable of, and the growth of Cameron Norrie is insane. Like, I just remember that kid with a pink sweatband on it, like, playing under 10s with, that I used to just destroy every time I played him. And then now he's a semi-finalist at Wimbledon and we have the chance to go up against each other at a Grand Slam is just nuts. So, look, I'm excited either way. You know, I think a Kyrgios-Djokovic final would be mouth-watering. And, I mean, I feel like if you do your research, I think you would consider him the favourite today. So that's who I'm probably going to be preparing for. But at the same time, I'm not counting Cameron Norrie out at all.
Hi, Nick. Sudipta Ganguly from Reuters. Nick, in the past, your relationship with the sport has been a little bit of love-hate sort of a thing. Like, but the past 2 weeks, would you say that that's going to change in the future?
I don't know if it's going to change. There's definitely times where I hate the sport. But there are times where I think I'm one of the most competitive people I've ever met. You know, I've met a lot of people and I've, you know, whether it's playing my Nintendo, whether it's playing basketball, whether it's anything, I'm so competitive. So I feel like, yeah, I love tennis, but I just love competing. You know, I just love going up against someone. And I love just the winning and losing aspect of sport in general. So I don't know if that'll ever change. You know, the one thing's for sure, whether I win or lose on Sunday, I'm going to be happy because it's just such a great achievement that I thought I'd never be a part of. Especially at 27, like, I feel like this is, like, for me, I thought it was the later stages of my career, but I just never thought it would be right here. You know, I have a chance.
Simon Campbell's The Guardian. If you, Australia has such a rich heritage of champions here, especially, have you allowed yourself to think about what it would be like to join some of those greats? if you win?
I mean, look, I don't think, you know, as for the greats of Australian tennis, they haven't always been the nicest to me personally, and they haven't always been supportive, and they haven't been supportive these 2 weeks. So it's hard for me to kind of read things that they say about me when, like, for instance, when I saw Ash Barty in the final of Australia, I was nothing but happy, and I would never say a bad word about an Australian making a final. Like, that's just me. And the kind of only great that's ever been supportive of me the whole time has been Leighton Hewitt. You know, like, he knows, you know, he's our Davis Cup captain, and he kind of knows that I kind of do my own thing. You know, I'm definitely the outcast of the Australian players. He knows to kind of keep his distance and just let me do me, and he just sends me a message here or there, you know, keep going. That's literally it. Just well done, keep going. But I don't, it's pretty sad because I don't get any support from any of the other Australian tennis players, male side. Like, not the players. I mean, like, the past greats. And it's weird. They just have, like, a sick obsession with just tearing me down for some reason. Like, I just don't know, like, whether they don't like me or they're, like, afraid that they're, I don't know what it is, but it sucks because if it was roles reversed, if I saw Demonar in the final, or I saw Jordan Thompson or Thanasi, like, I'd be pumped, like, I'd be stoked, I'd be having a pint watching, going nuts. So, I don't know. So, shout out to Leighton, I guess.
And just quickly, is it right you hit with Leighton before coming here on grass?
I'm here for one day in Hunters Hill, and obviously the media just loves to, you know, no, oh, he's every day with Leighton Hewitt, but it was one day for like an hour and a half. Yeah.
Molly? Congrats for making the final. You posted a photo of yourself as a kid with a tennis racket the other day. I just wondered, what was that kid like? Was he as competitive as you are now? Can you tell us a little bit about what you were like as a kid? And also just
hungry.
On a separate point, sorry.
I was hungry. yeah, I think that's just hilarious because I think, like, I'm not really supposed to, I don't think I'm supposed to be like a, like someone like me who, like, I look at that photo and, you know, I grew up in Canberra, the courts I trained on were horrible, and now I'm in the chance to play Wimbledon final. I think it's honestly an inspiration for any sort of kid who's kind of been outcasted or just been surrounded by negative headlines or negative just clouds, or trying to be, like, just been brought down from a lot of different angles. And I feel like it's possible. It's still possible to achieve something quite special. If you just believe in yourself. I never really lost belief in myself. I feel like a lot of people, most people around me at some stage in my life have lost belief that, you know, I would ever make a Grand Slam final, or, you know, doubted me a little bit, you know, in my behavior, or, you know, just the way I trained. And I think everyone, safe to say, and that's fine that they doubted me, but I never lost belief myself. I think that's just a strong message for any sort of, any kid, you know, who doubts himself, just keep going. Like, look at that photo. Like, I literally look like Manny from, like, Modern Family.
Hi, Nick. Tom Anderson from ESPN. You spoke the other day about the gods, you called them, and how you were the one to kind of break them all by beating Rafa. Well, it's kind of getting to the point now. Rafa's spoken a lot about his injuries. Federer's still trying to come back. Novak might not play again until the French Open and the Slam. Do you kind of feel that responsibility when they're gone to kind of take the sport from them?
No. I don't think anyone's able to fill those shoes, to be honest with you. And we've got a great crop of young players coming up. Like, Alcaraz is unbelievable. Sinner, you saw what he's able to do. Just so many younger guys, even Nakashima, the way he played this tournament. I don't think that myself or all those guys are able to fulfill those shoes. Like, we'll never see a competitor like Rafa again. You'll never see someone wield a racket like Roger so effortlessly. And you'll never probably see anyone who just wins and just plays the game so good, like, as a winner than Djokovic. So I don't think anyone will fill those shoes. So once they're gone, I'm not sure. Like, I feel like if I ever am able to lift a Grand Slam trophy, I think that's, like, please don't put the pressure on me to do another one. Like, like, I'm not. So, no, I don't know if anyone's going to fill those shoes, but it's going to be a sad day when they go. You know, I did a podcast and I said, like, I feel like humans don't really, we take for granted how good athletes are at times. Like LeBron, for instance, in NBA, like, he's been around for 18 years, 19 years almost at the top of the sport, and we still criticize him. You know, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, like, these guys are, like, they're so rare.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Hugo Daniel, Sunday Times. Well done on getting to the final, Nick. There was a headline today in the Telegraph that said it's Wimbledon's worst nightmare, you've got a free pass to the final. What's your reaction to that? I mean, with the allegations that have been made against you and your behaviour, I guess is what they're referring to. Do you feel like you're Wimbledon's worst nightmare?
I didn't read it, to be honest. I didn't see it, but look, it's hard. It's just something that I have to deal with. Like, that's just the world we live in, I guess. Like, I'm in a Wimbledon final, and that's, I know deep down, like, everything I've gone through and I've worked for. So I just try and enjoy the ride. If that's what they want to write, I guess that's what they want to write. I can only control what I do. So I'm just going to go out there and enjoy the moment. You know, since I was born, only 8 people have ever won this title. Like, 8 people. So, like, I don't know. I'm just going to give it my best shot.
Hi Nick, Yasmin Syed from The Express. Congratulations on getting to the final. You've said the last couple of weeks, obviously you don't play a full schedule and it is very tough to travel from Australia. Does going deep like this make it feel worth it and make you want to do it more often?
I mean, I'm still travelling 4 or 5 months of the year, but I've sat down and I'm never going to travel more than that. I just don't want to sacrifice family time or, you know, time at home. I just cherish those things too much. I don't want to be that person that's playing so much tennis during the year and not cherishing those times home. Like, if I was to, after a result like this, win or lose, I want to have that crucial time at home to enjoy it, you know, with my loved ones. Like, I've played this sport since I was 7 years old. Like, these are the times I feel like where you want to just sit and enjoy it. You know, we made it this far, and I'm not saying to get complacent or anything like that. I just want to not, you know, I've still tournaments after this as well, you know, the US swing obviously, but after that, I want to have time where I can actually just reflect and say, wow, like, it's been a good couple months, and then recharge and then go again. I don't want to be just, I feel like that's the thing about the tennis life is, like, no matter how good a result is or how bad it is, you got another tournament next week and you can't, like, life just goes. It's like a spinning wheel so quickly, and I just don't like that. I like to really just sit and reflect.
Okay, just one more.
Well, hi, Di from Wimbledon Radio. You said you didn't sleep very well last night. You got about an hour's sleep. Did you watch a movie? Did you get up? How tired are you feeling today?
I was just restless. Like, just so many thoughts in my head about a Wimbledon final. Like, that's just all I was thinking about. I was thinking just playing and obviously imagining myself winning, imagining myself losing, just everything. Just, I've never been here before. So it's definitely, you know, that's where Djokovic has the advantage. From the get-go, he can draw from experience. He's done it so many more times. He knows the emotions he's going to be feeling, where I don't know that. I don't know anything like that. So it was just all running through my head, every little thought, and I just slept really bad. I've just been really, I feel like I'm just a reckless ball of energy right now. I just want to go out in the practice court and hit some tennis balls and just talk and just, I want it to come already. Yeah, I want the final to come already. So I know that I have to kind of just calm down, and there's still a couple of days until that moment. So hopefully tonight I can just get a bit of rest. Chamomile tea and rest.
Sorry, we're going to have to wrap it up there. Thank you very much.